You're listening to the weekend podcast of Palm Valley Church. We hope this message encourages you in your walk with Christ.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to PVC Online. I know it's different. I miss having you in here. It feels strange being all alone in this space. But I know somehow through the magic of technology from my lips into the camera, into your home or space, I know somehow God's going to use this message today. Thanks again to those of you who've been so faithful and generous. You're giving online. You've even brought some of your financial tithes and offerings in. Just huge thanks to keep things running here. But I'm mindful of what's going on in your home and what's going on in your family. We've been touching many of you, and it's just amazing what we're going through. But the Bible isn't silent on issues like this, and we can learn so much. And we've been talking about who is Jesus, and I think today, if we would just lean into this, there's something here for each one of us. I know for me, I write sermons, I think about them, and they usually have to just work their way through me, and this one has worked its way through me in a powerful way, and it's just a truth that I need to get. And I want to start by asking a question. Question is what does it mean to trust Jesus? A lot of times when people are thinking about what it means to trust Jesus, they think in terms of simply what happens when we die. That if I trust Jesus, he simply made it like this retirement, his eternal retirement plan for me. But in the New Testament, trusting Jesus never meant just thinking about eternity and the ever afterlife. It meant something different. What it meant was that I think Jesus is right. New Testament, when they thought about trusting Jesus, they kept in mind of what Jesus was teaching, what he was saying, and they believed he was right. And you say, well, right about what? Well, right about everything. That Jesus, he didn't just come and go straight to the cross. He lived on this earth. He taught as a teacher. And it's what he taught that really has stayed with us. And to think of him today, the thought is, think of him as our teacher. I know sometimes we say, is he your personal savior? Is he Lord? We saw a few weeks ago, is he your best friend? But today, I want you to think of him as a teacher, or as they would have said in the New Testament, a rabbi. Now, rabbi's job was very interesting. Rabbi's job, more than anything, was to help their community understand how to live and walk out Torah, the Old Testament, specifically the law of Moses. For example, if Torah said, it's wrong to work on the Sabbath, well, what's work would be the obvious question. So the rabbi's job was for their community to kind of study and pray and to really wrestle with this, see what other rabbis taught, and for their community say, okay, for us, not working on the Sabbath means that you can walk a mile, but you can't walk two. Or you could carry something in your house, but not outside your house. They would have all these rules, and it still happens today, by the way. I mean, there's still all of these Shabbat or Sabbath rules that they still have today. So the rabbi, they would have their sets of teachings or interpretations of scripture. And that was thought of kind of like a yoke. Like two oxen who are yoked together. You'd be yoked up to their teaching, to their understanding of Torah, which was everything. How shall we live was the question. And so this is what people wrestled with. And every once in a while, a rabbi would come along with a new understanding, with some new teaching. Every once in a while, they would come along and say, you know what? I think the old teacher got it wrong. I think there's a new way of understanding this. And There's a great deep thought here. I don't have time to unpack all of it, but the idea is this, and the key word is, in order to do that, it required authority. You had to have authority if you were gonna come along and say, hey, I know you've heard it this way, but I'm telling you this way. And this would have maybe not even happened in your lifetime. It'd been a rare thing. It'd be very exciting if a rabbi came along who would say and think, I think I got it better. I think I see things differently. Well, people would travel from a great distance to hear such a rabbi. Well, in the New Testament, there was such a rabbi. It was Jesus. He taught as one with authority. He taught in a different way. And his teaching and his message on the Sermon on the Mount was so fundamental to his mission. When you read those words where we have so much of his teaching, it's phenomenal how you see this contrast. For example, he would say things kind of like, you've heard it said. So he's starting off by, okay, there was this yoke or this set of teaching. You've heard it said that an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth, for example. But then he would say, but I tell you, and this happened over and over again in the New Testament. So you've thought this way, but I tell you this. In this case, he's talking about revenge. He's talking about these types of things, but he's doing it and he's establishing it because he's got authority. And it would have been a very amazing thing. And he's describing what life in the kingdom was like. Remember, he taught us to pray, Lord, may your kingdom come and your will be done on earth. And so what does it look like? His rule, his reign, for his kingdom to come and his will be done on earth. And Jesus was reestablishing, he was changing some of the ways, the cultural norms, saying, hey, there's a different way of doing this. For example, he would go on to say in the Sermon on the Mount, like, you've heard it said, you shall love your neighbor, but hate your enemy. But I tell you, but I say to you, love your enemies. Bless those who curse you. In other words, his ways suddenly were different. And this is the whole message that he came to bring, is really to reveal to us what it looks like to have what's going on up there come down here. His kingdom come, his will be done in our life. What's so important, and the point of this is, his teaching was absolutely fundamental to his mission. His teaching was. Yes, we celebrate. He went to the cross. Yes, he secured our eternity forever because of what he did. Yes, trusting him means those things. But he also came and he taught. And this is so crucial for us to get this. And what's interesting is whenever you would finish teaching like this, the response would be the same throughout scripture. They would say things like this. When Jesus ended his sayings, these sayings, the people were astonished at his teaching, for he taught them as one having authority. And there's a lot packed in that, but he had to be established and affirmed, and he was by John the Baptist, he was by God the Father himself, their stamp of approval. He had authority. His teaching is fundamental to his message. I don't know if you've ever thought of Jesus just this way, but it's a matter of sheer historical record that no one's teaching has ever changed and challenged our world like the teachings of Jesus. His teachings and his messages were so powerful, people would travel great distances and they would sit for hours and hours and listen to his teaching. They would be such huge crowds. One time, on the Sea of Galilee, and if you've been there, you can just see it. He had to get into a boat. There were so many people, and he taught them up on a hillside, and he looked, and he taught this great expanse for hours. He taught. One time he's in a house. It was so crowded, no one else could get in. They had literally ripped the house apart to lower in somebody to get to Jesus. People would do this, and they would listen because it was new. He was a teacher. He hadn't gone to the cross yet. And this was so fundamental to what he was doing. It was so powerful. I think you'll never really understand Jesus unless you understand he was a really smart guy. There was something different about Jesus. And a lot of people in our day, they think of him maybe as a dreamer, maybe this idealistic guru. But he was a teacher, and he taught about life, and he taught us how it looks for his kingdom to come, his will to be done on earth as it is in heaven. Yes, he was the Son of God. Yes, he was the Savior of the world, but he was also a really smart guy. And that's why he would say, do as I do. That's why he would say, follow me, because he was establishing something different. At one point, he got it really clear. It was really clear when he said, come to me. Now, in light of where we're at as in the world right now, think about these words of your Savior. Come to me, all who are weary, all who are burdened, and I will give you rest. I mean, just think about that promise, the invitation. And with all the weariness and all the burdens that we're carrying right now, perhaps never more, certainly in our generation, as we're facing this global pandemic, as fear is also a pandemic sweeping across our world, we have a Savior who in times like these is saying, come to me. Come to me, you're weary, you're burdened, I'll give you rest. And look at what he says. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me. Take my teachings, take the words that I've said, be yoked to me. And he says, and learn. And what will happen? He says, he's gentle. He is humble in heart. And you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. One of the things we're facing right now is just an exhaustion. Just even though some aren't working as much as they did, things have slowed down, but the drain on people, the drain on their souls, they're tired, they're exhausted. We've made a lot of phone calls this week to many of our members, and some have literally just started crying instantly. Why? Because our souls are just tired. And here's the Savior saying, come, take my yoke, learn of me. I am gentle, I'm humble. But he says, my yoke is easy, my burden is light. If we've ever needed that message, it's today. And I want you to know, it's a real message. It's a real invitation. Come unto me. Take my yoke, become my disciple, follow me. And the truth is, you and I are gonna follow something. You and I are gonna follow someone. We're gonna be yoked up to something in this world. And right now we're yoked up maybe to just overload of media, and we're just hearing so much bad news. And we become yoked, and because of that, there's so much worry, so much panic. I wanna ask you a question, and preachers often ask, or sometimes if someone's maybe sharing the gospel with somebody, they will say something like this: what happens if you were to die tonight? It's a sobering question. And they mean to get us to think about our eternity and making a decision to follow Christ. I wanna ask it a little differently. What happens if you don't die tonight? What happens if you wake up tomorrow, as I believe most of us will, and you live? The question is, how then will you live? What will you be yoked to? What will you be connected to? Where are you drawing inspiration, power, strength, encouragement? We're all yoked to something. The question is, what are you yoked to? You have a teacher, this eternal teacher, whose words have lasted through time, and they're still here, and they're words that are not just little things of encouragement like a fortune cookie. No, these words have power. These words have life. These words have power to even divide bone and marrow. They come in other words, do surgery on us. This is a time to be in the Word. This is a time to have a listening ear and say, speak to me, God. We will have somebody guide us. We all will. Someone is going to be leading us. The question is, who's leading you? And if it's Jesus, and he's not just your Savior, he's not just your friend, miracle worker, but if you say, no, he's my teacher. And if that's true, I will do what he says. I will work to obey him. I will follow him. What he offers us today is his yoke. He doesn't offer anything else. Take my yoke upon you. This is what he offers. This is what's out there for us. So my hope is that we would soberly consider the words of our Savior during this time, and they would teach us, and they literally would come over us. I've experienced it again afresh, as if for the first time this week, where the words come. And at first it just sounds like a good idea, but then you realize it's truth. And the Bible says his truth sets us free. And we need this. And kind of to wrap up today, I wanna go back to the Sermon on the Mount and some of the words that Jesus taught us. And if ever they were needed, it's now. He says, therefore, I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or drink. Don't worry about your body, what you'll wear. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothes? Look at the birds of the air. I had this on my mind this morning. I stood on our patio, and the birds, I love the valley. There's just so many birds. They're just loud. But look at the birds of the air. They don't sow or reap. In other words, they're not planting. They don't store away stuff in barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. No bird kind of flew over me just chirping, please help. They're being cared for supernaturally by an amazing God. And Jesus, your teacher, says, are you not much more valuable than they? Can any one of you, by worrying, add a single hour to your life? We, like I said, are in a pandemic of worry. Should we be concerned? Absolutely. Should we be sober and realize what's going on? Absolutely. But there is a place where just concern about what's going on, which is normal and needed, slips into just worry and panic and fretting about things that haven't happened yet as if they were. And the question again, can any of you, by worrying, add a single hour to your life? Your teacher, your rabbi Jesus says, so don't worry. Saying, what shall we eat? What shall we drink? What shall we wear? For the pagans run after these things, but your heavenly Father knows that you need them. And here it is, listen, lean in. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and then all these things will be added to you as well. This is the promise of Scripture. This is what your rabbi and your teacher. I want to ask you several questions. First of all, is he your Lord and Savior? Have you made a decision that he is my Savior? You need to receive him as your Savior just by an invitation, saying, Lord, forgive me of my sins. Come into my life and make me brand new inside. Old things be passed away and all things become new. I hope you've settled that question. But if he is your Savior, have you ever thought about it this way? Have you ever said, he's not just my Savior and Lord, but he's my teacher. And I'm gonna go to the book, I'm gonna read his words. I mean, we take advice from exercise coaches, from people who challenge us and they get in us and they yell, and we love that stuff. Do more pushups, run harder, and we do it. We had teachers in school who'd tell us to read something, we'd read it. They'd tell us facts and we'd believe it. Do you accept Jesus as your trainer, as your coach, as your mentor? And know this about him. He said, for I am humble, I am gentle. My yoke is easy, my burden is light. This is our hope. It's where we find strength. It's not lip service. May we truly live and say, Lord, may your kingdom come. And may your will be done on earth in my life.
We hope you enjoyed this message today. Don't miss out on next week's teaching. You can subscribe to us on iTunes and keep up to date with what's happening at palmvalleychurch.com.